Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I was a young political operative up in Michigan before I came to the seminary, I remember this quotation. It came from a German count of some sort. I don't remember his name. It goes something like this. Anyone who likes laws or sausages ought never see them being made. I think an analogy to the call process sometimes. The end result's often beautiful, but the process definitely not so. And you begin to hear the stories in a few days and over the next few weeks and months and even years as you go to your parishes, you'll start to hear the stories of how your call came to be. Just a few days after I got mine, I took a trip over to Van Wert, and I heard a little story that was kind of shocking. You see, I found out that there were two men on the call list. There was the vacancy pastor, a fine man, a great preacher, devoted servant. And there was me, newbie guy out of the sem, who nobody knew anything about except basically his name that was big and long and unlike what you have on your service bulletin. I've always used my full name since college, Lance Armstrong O'Donnell. Now, I was born before the famous cyclist, so he's named after me. But nevertheless, the name was very familiar. And it just so happened that the vacancy pastor, on the Sunday in which the congregation was going to vote to extend a call or to make a candidate-specific request, he got up in the pulpit that day, and his object lesson or sermon title, whatever it was called The Faith of Lance Armstrong. Later this week, even, we had like a lot of you last year, we had some floods, and our church flooded twice in the basement, the fellowship hall, education area. And so we got some money from the insurance company to remodel. This started this last week. And so members of the congregation early in the week started going downstairs and ripping off paneling. This was done 20, 30 years ago, maybe as far back as about the time I was born. And later in the afternoon, they bid me come downstairs. They said, come here, I want to show you something. And I went downstairs and I looked, and there was some paneling, and I didn't really notice it. And they said, look again. Well, they had started ripping off paneling, and there in big black letters done some 20 or 30 years before with spray paint of great big Lance on two or three or four pieces of the drywall that had been there underneath paneling for 30 years, and we all chuckled. Now, I can't promise you that great signs and wonders are going to attend your call. But you do have a piece of paper, those of you who will receive calls, and that piece of paper is important. Important to see it. It'd be one thing, in a sense, if it was just verbal, but there's something about that piece of paper, something about seeing it, touching it, holding it. And the Lord knows that seeing is important. And you can see it all throughout the Gospels. Even though he says at the end of chapter 20 of St. John's Gospel, he says to Thomas, as you recall, you believe, Thomas, because you have seen. Blessed are those, rather, who have not seen and yet believe. And then he ends the chapter there with that great little summary. He says, there are all these other things that could have been written, but they wouldn't fit in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. End of book. Great ending. Why not stop there? And yet it starts over. And you see in the very structure of the gospel itself an urgency on the part of the Spirit, an urgency that we hear more about the sightings, about the touching of Jesus, about the talking with him, and that, of course, is what you heard this morning. You heard the story. You heard the story of how they went out, Simon and Nathanael and Thomas and the sons of Zebedee and the others, and they went out, and they were out there fishing. And these were guys, as you know, who knew what they were doing. There they were, out all night, and in the morning, they stand here, from here about across the lake, and there's a guy out there, and he says, throw your net on the right side. And immediately they do, and it is full of fish. They are reminded of all that has happened before in the various similar accounts. They are reminded that that man over there is not just a man, that he is in fact the Lord. And that is the central thought, I think, if you will, behind all these resurrection appearances. That the man Jesus, the resurrected man, is not just a man like Lazarus or the widow's son or Jairus' daughter or the centurion's servant. That the man resurrected there is in fact a God-man. God in the flesh. And it is important that we are told that over and over and over and over again. Even after Easter, that he is a God-man. Because if he is God in the flesh there, and they see it and they know it by all he sees and does, then he was God the few days before when he was on the cross. And if that was the God in the flesh on the cross, then something of cosmic importance has happened. God made him, St. Paul says, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, not on our own doings, our own grades, our own personality, our own whatever, not in us in any way, shape, or form, so that in him and in him alone, we might become the righteousness of God. Seeing is important. Maybe not absolutely necessary, but important. And the beautiful thing, of course, is that Jesus has not left us without seeing. You see, the man who was also God, when he speaks, it is. And therefore, when Jesus says, "This is my body, and this is my blood," it is exactly what he says it is. And so when you come and you receive, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, there he is. And there he is for you, giving you exactly what he promises: forgiveness of sins. And where there is the forgiveness of sins, we know there is life and salvation. This morning, my friends, the same Jesus who bid Peter and Nathanael and the others, bid them come and eat, bids you come and receive the forgiveness of your sins. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.